testimony they'd like to share tonight, we want to give you that opportunity. Anyone? Don't everyone jump up at once. Then I won't know who to call on. Turn to Philippians, the second chapter, and we're going to start with verse 5 as we dig into this passage. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You have to, as you read this, you have to think back to the previous verses about what he's talking about us setting folks above ourselves. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, let me make sure I read that right. I turned the page. As a man, that's right. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And I think a good translation here is every knee will bow. Sometimes the King James uses that word should when it is absolutely proclamated. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You may be seated. This is a wonderful passage that God has given us through His Word, through Philippians, and some folks believe that this particular passage from 5 down through 11 might have been sung as a hymn in Paul's day, or perhaps could have been a type of a poem, and Paul included it here as an illustration. But we have to understand what Paul is speaking of in this chapter. Self-humiliation. To exalt others is what he's making reference to. And he's giving Christ as the example, our supreme example in this humiliation. So in verse 3 and verse 4, and we read that this morning, let nothing be done through strife and jealousy. Esteem others better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own thing. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Now, I just can't understand when folks read this passage how they can come to the realization that they think that there's not a triune Godhead. I just can't figure it. But he stripped himself of all privilege and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, even a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Boy's getting into the nitty-gritty, and he's getting deep into theology here. That this is how He did not come as a king on a throne. He did not light in a spaceship somewhere, but he came as a little baby. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. Did you see that? And carried his obedience to the extreme of death. And then, here the Bible says, even the death of the cross. What we have to look at is that Paul is saying, Jesus is our example here. We're not using someone that went out of their way to do something good for someone. This is the most extreme example, and he says that we are to follow in his footsteps. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in at the name of Jesus, every knee. Now you notice that here the Amplified Bible did not use this word should, but it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee, yeah, it does use should, must, he says, in the place of that, must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I believe that at least an explanation of the last part of that verse, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess, that I believe that that's going to take place if we confess Him now. It's our choice. We choose. We get the privilege of choosing to confess Him as Lord and Savior. But there's coming a time that the entire creation will acknowledge Him as Lord, except for some folks it's going to be eternally too late. Number one, He relinquished His place. And this is something that I want us to understand doctrinally as a church, what we believe as Southern Baptist. And really, I put that in there, but what we should believe as Christians and students of the Bible, that there is a triune Godhead. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. He was in the beginning with God at creation, and all things were created by Him. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. John 14:9, Jesus said Himself, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. That doesn't mean that they are one person. And some folks have mistranslated that to mean one person. It is not one person. It is three persons and one God. And that is a complicated theology, but it is what the Bible teaches. In Colossians 1 and verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. 1 Timothy 3:16, when Paul was writing his letter to Timothy, he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Who was that? Well, it was Jesus, of course. In Hebrews 1, and verse 1 through verse 3, he makes several comments. God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. When David Jeremiah in his book, and I don't even have the name of the book. I'm sorry. But I've pulled a page out of that book. He refuses his prerogative. Now, I struggle with words sometimes. And for that reason, I'm very thankful for Siri. But this is what Webster says about prerogative. It is the unquestionable right belonging to a person. So Jesus has this right, but he gives this right up. Now, why is Paul saying all this? Because he's our example. Jesus is our example that no one could have better represented that right than Jesus, and yet he gave it up. So who are we to try to hold on to what we would call our right? When the text says, this is David Jeremiah, when the text says that Christ did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, it means that he did not grasp or hold on to the outer manifestation of his deity. He did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He did not view it as something to hold on to at all costs. While we may not be able to fully understand this, we do know that Christ surrendered that which he loved in order that he might, and I love this statement, that he might serve those whom he loved. Robert Gormick draws a straight line from the illustration to the dynamic truth that stands behind it. And this is what he says. When Christ did not esteem his equality with God as a prized possession, he did not look on his own things. Chapter 2, verse 4. Instead, he viewed the things of others, namely the sinful plight of the human race. He did not contemplate what he would gain for himself, but rather what he could do for others. Please do not miss your role in all this. Jesus made a choice to become a servant. In verse 7 says, he emptied himself. Verse 8 says, he humbled himself. In both cases, the reflective expression is used to denote very pointed personal decision. If the only person in the world who ever had the right to assert his rights wave them, then you and I can do the same thing. The songwriter said, once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. And I'm not sure his theology is absolutely on target here, but I don't know what he was thinking. But he says, they searched through heaven and found a Savior. Now, I don't know what he was thinking there. Because Jesus was the Savior from the beginning of the world to save a poor lost soul like me. But I do agree with this. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail scarred. His side was riven. He gave his lifeblood even for me. Verse 7 says he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself to deprive something of its proper place and use. Phillips' translation says he stripped himself of all privilege. So what did he strip himself of? Not of his deity. Or he would cease to be the Savior. David Jeremiah talks about verse 7 in this way. He says, the best and most accurate way to define self-emptying of Jesus is that in his incarnation, Christ voluntarily surrendered the independent exercise of his divine attributes. Now we know that He held on to some of that, right? I mean, he had it all, but he just didn't use it all. After his resurrection, he walked through walls He appeared in places. He was omnipresent in many situations. He knew what people were thinking. So he held on to some of those things. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He put himself under the authority of God the Father and under the control of the Holy Spirit in their exercise. There's no record of Jesus having used these divine attributes in his first 30 years of human existence. Had you thought about that? You could have had some fun with your brothers, couldn't you? But when the Spirit came upon him at his baptism, he began to demonstrate these powers. He took the form of a servant. Now, how do you and I do that? How do you and I, if we're going to follow in the steps of Jesus, how do you and I, we talked about encouragement this morning, but this tonight goes beyond that. It goes beyond being an encourager, and it moves us to a place of being a servant, of serving others. In Luke 22 and verse 27, Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. I'm a servant. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's stand together. Brother Russell Colbert, would you dismiss us with a word of